Hello and welcome to Off the Books, where we surf the uncharted waters of accounting, finance, risk, and wherever else the waves take us. This episode is brought to you by Workiva, the only platform that unifies financial reporting, ESG, audit, and risk, and is your ticket to the movies. Check it out at workiva.com/podcast. My name is Mike Gravania, and I'm an Off the Books producer, recovering cherry coke addict, and today's host. With me, as always, are our two lovely co-hosts. Please introduce yourselves, starting with you, Steve.
Hello, everyone. I'm Steve Soder, accounting enthusiast and Diet Coke aficionado. Looking forward to debiting a great conversation.
I'm Catherine Tsai, professional asker of questions. My drink of choice is a venti soy chai, and I'm happy to be here.
Happy to talk to you both. We are here to talk about a documentary, MoviePass, Movie Crash. And before we dig in, and I have my whole little written intro to set up the... Were you MoviePass users, either of you?
I wish I was.
Yeah, same thing. I didn't hear about it until after it had kind of like come, until it had fallen, and I was really disappointed, because that sounds like it was pretty cool. $10 a month, all the movies you can see?
Screaming deal.
It was, and it came at the perfect time. I was in grad school, and my classes were at night, and I was a freelancer, so I had a lot of open days. So I went to so many bad, awful, terrible movies that I would not normally have seen. I don't remember seeing a good movie because of MoviePass, but I saw a lot of schlock. And it was the Meg. That's the standout one, where it was like perfectly bad and enjoyable. I loved MoviePass. And so when this came out, I'm a dork, so I just watched this movie, not for this podcast, when it came out early in the summer. And then I hit you guys up and very excitedly said, I think this actually counts as an accounting movie.
Hey, wait, do you still have your card? Because as we learn, that's worth $1,500.
No, I really wish.
Oh,
I love that guy who's just like, no, it's a keepsake. And they're like, oh, it'll go for $1,500. He's like, this will be on eBay tonight.
That's right.
What can a memory give you? In the summer of 2024, a documentary chronicling the rise and fall of MoviePass hit HBO. MoviePass Movie Crash lays out the story of co-founders Stacy Spikes and Hamay Watt being pushed out of the company under the leadership of Ted Farnsworth and Mitch Lowe, who would go on to drive the company into the ground with massive parties and shady dealings. It's a story of hubris, money versus passion, and race. Bookies, I ask you this, to start off as we always do. Is this an accounting movie?
I think it could be. What's your expert opinion, Steve?
Oh, I think so. I mean, you know, if you just look at like a pricing model that's a little bit aggressive at the beginning so that you can kind of grow revenue, but then at some point you kind of got to like throttle that back. You can start making some money. A COO who was a founder, who actually was the previous CEO, right? Saying like, hey, you know, we probably ought to like mix up the pricing model. I think hands down it's a canning movie.
Okay, I love it. Because this is one of the first ones that I brought and had no idea. I was just watching. I was like, I hope it counts. And it's just the inner workings of a business and how many people can be like, because not the accounting part, but so Ted and Mitch are called founders often, but they, Hamay and Stacy are the founders, but they got in early enough or had the swag. And so it's interesting to watch. I feel like this happens to a lot of companies. I mean, Elon Musk is called a founder at half a dozen companies that he had nothing to do with the founding of. And so you could just get in and be like, I'm in charge, so I'm going to call myself a founder now.
No, so a lot of times it's actually negotiated. If you bring in somebody like an early CEO, something like that, it's like, okay, well, I'm going to get like founder credit, founder title,
right,
something like that. You know, a lot of times that's actually like part of the formal negotiation. But at some point you say it enough and enough people just, you know, kind of start repeating it. And then,
right,
you know, it just kind of becomes a truth.
And it's so interesting because it was Stacy and Hamay who kind of pushed it forward and birthed the idea. And the other two just were like known entities in the wider business world, which is why I think it's Hamay who says that. He's like, well, we had to bring them in because we're two, you know, younger black guys. And you bring in an older white guy with whitish hair, the other old white guys with white hair are going to trust him more. And so it highlighted something that feels like it happens in companies often anyway. And then now there's a, you know, an age thing, an experience thing, and a race thing happening within MoviePass.
What I didn't know, I mean, I was familiar with like MoviePass. What I didn't know is that Stacy bought it out of bankruptcy and it's a cash flow positive, at least at the end of the documentary, right? It's like,
yeah,
hey, you know, this is the first month, which now when they say cash flow positive, are we talking like $1,000? Are we talking 10, you know, I mean, like, you know, what's the number? But that was kind of a cool I know that was kind of a cool thing I didn't realize, and good for him.
This guy loves movies and loves theaters, and I respect that and agree. Theaters are the best way to watch movies. So I like that he got his baby back and he's made it. And it's now an above board way. There's credits, because I sat there, I was like, how is this working now? A Friday night will cost you more credits than a Monday morning. Like, there's times of days, and so your monthly depends on how many credits you want a month. It's less sexy than $9.95 a month, but you go, oh, but this is a company that can actually exist and last for a while. Let's pivot to that model. And I get the, well, this will get word of mouth. We don't have to spend money on paid advertising. It's $9.95, unlimited movies. Is there any way this could have worked and been a sustainable practice? Because there's two things happening to drive them into the ground. They're not making enough money and getting too many people involved. And then, you know, the gross, irresponsible spending on parties and sponsorships. So just the plan. How could that work?
In hindsight, there's so many things they could have done. They could have made it like a limited time promotion for that low, low price.
Mm-hmm.
They could have put some limits on what you could actually watch for that low, low price.
Well, if you look at the restrictions, and, you know, some of which, like the whole, like, well, we had, you know, changing passwords of the most, you know, frequent users, that kind of thing. I don't know. I didn't really get like a clear picture of that. But some of the things that they did, to your point about when could you see a movie, what movies could you see, had they sort of like started to, you know, maybe introduce that a little bit earlier and raise the price. I mean, much like Stacey said, that ultimately led to him getting fired. I think the model, I mean, it seems like it could have worked. Probably would have been a little bit more expensive. One thing that I'll go back on, though, is that I think it makes for a great story about, like, all the money that we're spending and the jets and the sponsorship. And that's true. I mean, clearly this, like, Ted guy was, like, a total grifter. He's, like, made a career out of it. But some of that, if you're looking for, you know, this kind of explosive growth and social media and being at the right place at the right time, I mean, I'm not even, I don't know if that's avoidable. Honestly, you know, like if you're going for like strong word of mouth,
right?
Maybe that is how you have to do it, right? Just blow incredibly stupid amounts of money, hoping that you get picked up on social media and by influencers and others, in order to kind of like drive the word of mouth. I mean, what's ironic, and the documentary made this point, is that by growing subscribers under that model, you're actually just exacerbating the problem, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you're just making it worse and worse and worse and worse. And that, I mean, again, this is plainly evident. I mean, that was a downfall.
That is true, though. In the tech world, it seems like there is a period where you're undergoing growth at all costs, pretty much. You know, like making a profit actually isn't expected right away.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a matter of like how long of a runway are people comfortable with giving you to grow at all costs without making a profit.
I was going to say, it's interesting because it was Stacey and Hamay who were like, no, this is great, but we should slow down. Because I think there was a way to do both. Keep growing, but do it like slowly and thoughtfully instead of like lighting the fuse below you. So you have to like scramble up the little, I liked the cartoon mountains to signify where they were in users was very useful visual element for me to be like, here's where we're at now.
What investors want to see is that you are like driving growth, but that you've got enough control on expenses so that at some point when you either have to be cash flow positive or it makes sense for you to be cash flow positive, you can kind of like turn that dial in a sense. And I think that was really the thing about MoviePass, different from responsible software companies, is that you couldn't have flipped that dial, right? I mean, there's no way in the world you could have completely like gone the other direction without just imploding the company. And then in which case, you're basically on a train track and it's just like, okay, we're just going to ride and pump this thing and hype it and say and do whatever we can. Because I mean, literally, like if there's any way out, I suppose that's it. But I mean, you have no other options at that point.
The thing about MoviePass is that I think even people with no accounting background at all could be like, there's no way this can make money. You're offering an unlimited subscription for less than the cost of a single movie ticket. How is this going to work?
The only way that it works to me is if you own the physical space, and so you're making the money on the concessions, which is how most theaters actually make their money, right? But the way they were doing it, the theaters were making money, but MoviePass itself was not. Instead, they got into trying to finance and produce movies, and that's not going to make... Yeah, I think it would have been smarter, even if it feels counterintuitive, to build brick-and-mortar MoviePass theaters, and now you're making money versus getting into movie production, which is very hard.
And what I loved, what I really loved about the movie, and not to like jump to it, but one of, I thought there were several best accounting moments, but one of was they brought up the 10K. And they were like, well,
that's right.
I read the 10K and, well, looks like they're losing a whole lot of money, right? I mean, nobody, I guess, had known that anymore. It wasn't publicly disclosed anymore. It was like $150 million, like in a quarter. It's like, holy cow. Like, you want to know who the hero is in this documentary? That 10K.
It's that 10K. Because that was, at that point, the two founders were pushed out, but they were still watching what was happening, obviously. Yeah. And the people, the cults of MoviePass, all the employees loved it and loved working there, and they felt like rock stars. But they were turning. So internally, it was the culture was turning toxic, and Mitch and Ted were partying all over the place, and only the high execs that were bringing other people. Khalid, who kept going through promotions, but nobody knew what he actually did. So the execs are going crazy, and the people actually making work were borrowing pens from banks next door. They didn't have extension cords. Like, they were not getting any sort of money. And but it went public with the 10K. So the broader world finally knew what everybody inside this toxic place knew. They're like, oh, there's a quote. It's a, one of the engineers said, it is just an endless list of, oh my God, what is happening here?
Yeah, I think it was an investor who dug through the 10K.
And yeah, that's why we like our reports here. Because they, it's hard to hide from the report if you're doing it accurately. And it's funny the two guys are so shady, or the top three guys really by the end, that it's surprisingly they didn't try to do more shady business and be like, let's hide stuff in the 10K.
Well, so what's interesting though is that in that case, that wasn't actually MoviePass's 10K. It was HMNY, I think.
The parent company.
Primary investment was MoviePass. Again, I might be getting these details a little bit wrong. And so there's even actually like a level of separation there as well. I mean,
right.
Your one and only investment, if your HMNY is MoviePass and basically your 10K is their 10K. I don't know if they had anything else, other investments that were significant enough that might have also kind of like also been part of there to sort of like cloud out a little bit MoviePass specifically. But crazy. Crazy, crazy. Thank goodness for 10Ks. That's all I got to say.
Thank goodness for 10K. Should that be our next sticker when we do another new batch of stickers? Just thank goodness.
Hooray for the 10K.
Think about like con men and businesses. If in hindsight and from the outside, there are so many, and you know, laid out in the story the documentarians are laying out, it feels so obvious what was going to happen. What can we glean from? What advice do we have for business leaders in what, looking at like the whole story and like the, is it too much of a dream and then the too much following con men? But especially for me, that the con men are so obviously con men. So what can businesses do to not have this happen?
Checks and balances seem important, because one thing about the con men, I guess we could debate this, but I wonder if they actually thought they were con men, or if they thought they were just pursuing a really good idea and just helping it to grow. Because I think it was Ted who was saying, we just need to create a deal that's so good that we don't have to spend any money on advertising. In theory, that's a great idea.
Sure.
So, like, were they offering this low price at a, that they couldn't really sustain, but they were saving all this money because they didn't have to do any advertising or buy any subscribers?
Yeah, I mean, I think, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. I've got to believe that, you know, somebody somewhere there was writing checks for payroll, was being sure that, you know, the money was flowing through that MasterCard, you know, debit card, credit card, whatever it was. I mean, there had to have been accountants. And if there were accountants, there probably had to have been somebody looking at FP&A and budgeting.
Right.
And I mean, you know, when you're in a startup, you're not really looking. I mean, yes, you're looking at financial statements, but you're looking at cash. I mean, just full time, you are looking at cash. And I guarantee somebody somewhere was going to somebody, hopefully it was like Mitch or Ted or a whole bunch of people, saying, hey, look, here's what the burn rate is. I mean, this is the cash going out, this is cash going in. Hey, you know, we need some money. And the lesson is like, okay, if you're now starting to see that in increments of time that are like within weeks of us like having to raise money or whatever, as opposed to like quarters and ideally for most businesses like years. I mean, like, stop the presses. You have a serious issue. You need to like stop, go back, reassess, figure out how you're going to get out. I mean, that to me feels like the lesson. I actually don't think Mitch really was a con man, at least as I kind of like thought about the documentary afterwards. I think Ted 100% was. I think Ted knew exactly what the play was there. 100%.
I think Mitch's downfall is hubris and not listening to like differing opinions. And Ted and Khalid are con men. Because Khalid just, Mitch and Ted are still awaiting trial. Khalid used the big Sundance party to write stuff off and cover other like personal debts he had. He was like, no, we have to pay $200,000 for this thing, and then put that into his own pocket. So he's, out of the three who are going to be charged or are awaiting trial or whatever, he's the only one who's been charged so far. And so, yeah, it feels like two con men and an arrogant dude took over a company.
Back to your comment about differing opinions, that was a lesson for me, is like, it's okay to have disagreements in the workplace. And to some degree, you should. You should have some differing opinions. And then you just need that culture of respect and psychological safety where people feel comfortable voicing these alternate opinions. And then having people actually listen to them. It sounds like Stacey Spikes brought up a lot of stuff and just nobody listened to him.
That was so wild to be like, oh, this guy is disagreeing with you, so you're going to just get rid of him, is a banana stance.
How is a financial reporting team better than a dad joke? A dad joke can tell you what to call a busy accounting leader, but it's not going to tell you why. Really good financial reporting teams can pull together reports that tell you what happened last month and even tell you why. They just don't always have the time to get to the why. That's where Workiva comes in. Top accounting and finance teams are using the Workiva platform to automate financial reporting, from financial statements to board reports, from 10Qs to S1s. Spend less time copying and pasting numbers and more time telling the story behind the numbers with data your auditors can trust. See why accounting and finance teams love Workiva at workiva.com/accounting. That's workiva.com/accounting. So what do you call a busy accounting leader? Overtaxed.
Let's get to our awards. Best accounting moment.
Well, I love the 10K. I actually think the best accounting moment, and it's pretty basic, it was Stacy basically like, hey guys, we got to raise our prices. Like, we can't keep this up. And I mean, that's as much common sense as it is accounting. But I mean, that's a pretty basic accounting thing, right? Like, I want my revenues to exceed my expenses. And candidly, that wasn't happening. Stacy saw it, raised his hand, and ended up getting fired.
Moment that made you angriest.
When the co-founders got shoved aside.
Me too. But again, yeah, because they loved movies so much.
Well, yeah, because there was like a sincerity, almost kind of like a pure desire of like, hey, we love movies. We want to be in this business. We're not looking here to become billionaires. I don't know, like maybe they were, but there was some virtue, I think, in what they were doing. I honestly, I had no idea. It was like super, super sad, right?
This, to me, it's so indicative of what goes on. I have a big problem with a lot of how organizations are run and purchased, but, like, something's working well. A VC comes in and takes over and then destroys it quickly because it's like, well, this isn't making an insane amount of profits. Like, bro, it never was. It was, like, a news function like Gawker or some, like, cool movie-based passion. Like, that kind of cancerous capitalism drives me insane. So yes, that made me the angriest as well.
Well, you know, the problem, it was not like not to get too far off track here, but the problem is that for that VC firm, the incentives are all, they're all mixed up. I mean, yes, if you're generating gobs of cash and a ton of profit, then the business that you bought is going to be totally valuable. But generally speaking, that's not how it plays out. It's like, okay, what incremental changes can I do to either squeeze more out of the business by like leveraging a whole bunch of debt or by exorbitant management fees, they're going to come back, or, hey, how do we like pump this thing up? Kind of like, you know, being a little bit shady about it in a sense where you have kind of like a con man that can drive up the value. And then, okay, how do we take that and have agreements where, let's say, we can sell our shares, but other people can't sell their shares? I mean, the incentives are all out of whack.
Yes. It's not sustainable. Catherine, you were going to say something?
Oh, it's frustrating how the new execs sullied the MoviePass name and dragged it through the mud. Because now when I think of MoviePass, I think of this crazy business model that couldn't be sustained instead of like, oh, the second thing I think about is how it enables you to see all these movies that you wouldn't have otherwise seen.
Right. Its name has become almost synonymous with like how to run your business into the ground.
Yeah, which is a shame.
This is the end. Normally, this is our first, I think, non-bracketed movie. So now we get to just be like, hey, that was a good time at the movies. Do we think this would have traveled far in the movie bracket if it was eligible?
I think it would have beat Moonstruck.
Oh, my goodness. Steve hates Moonstruck. I'm only going to get Moonstruck. You Moonstruck-based gifts from now on.
I think it would have. I mean, I don't know if we would have looked at it as an accounting movie. Again, how we defined it, I think that was a little bit squishy. But had it made the bracket, I think it would have done well.
Yeah, documentaries did pretty well in our bracket.
Yeah. It's they having been watching a lot of docs for a lot of years of different topics, but there's a definite, this is the one where I'm like, oh no, this is the formula that I'm getting a little sick of like, start with somebody who's enthusiastic, sitting down, putting on their mic to say something to kind of hook you. Start with the, like, it's the party and the downfall all at once in the first 5 minutes, and then be like, and let's rewind. And then just like, first act, everything will always be good forever. Oh no, second act, like, it's, it, there's a definite doc formula that, and maybe it's, I've watched too many HBO docs, but this solidified that formula for me, and I think I will be less kind to the formula from here on out. That's neither here nor there. Big thanks to you, dear listener, for surfing along with us, and big thanks to Catherine Tsai and Steve Soder. This has been Off the Books presented by Workiva. We will be back in the future with other accounting movies, and you can listen to our past episodes covering the accounting movie bracket. And you should. Please subscribe, leave a review, tell your buddies if you like the show, and sound off in the comments if you're watching on YouTube. Feel free to drop us a line at offthebooks@workiva.com. Surf's up, and we'll see you on the next wave.